The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Graham Hunter, how are things?
On the ground, actually. A grey morning, you'll be gutted to hear in Sheffield. You're very grey indeed. Kind of a little bit like, Leash or Clontarf this morning, maybe. But other than that, buoyant, ready for you, ready to chat with your listeners, viewers.
I'm sure Will be able to give you a good breakdown of what the Midlands and what Leash is looking like over the last little while. Graham, we were just listening to Pat Nevin there a moment ago. We're going to chat about Spanish football in just a moment, but I actually just wanted to get your brief take on this. Sad times is how he summed it up for Celtic this season. What's your emotion been while seeing their decline this year?
My emotion is I wish I could invent a time machine and take us back to the middle 80s when Aberdeen won the title. And I'm like a Greek chorus, except singing on the sidelines, not about tragedy, about comedy. It's beautiful. The secret of all great comedy is timing, isn't it? And I don't know why. I mean, Pat's maybe, if that's younger than me, maybe he was alive. I was alive, certainly, and watching football when Celtic did their first nine in a row and Rangers. I think coach Mitchell Wallace stopped them going 10. I remember the frantic nonsense. I was a football journalist in Scotland at the time that when Janssen came across and with his one season wonder won the title, stopped Walter Smith capitalising on the soonish years as well and making it 9-0. And a TV commentator, Jock Brown, brother of the former Scotland manager, friend of mine, Craig Brown, was the general manager at Celtic, and I remember when they won that title, that one title under Jim Janssen to prevent Rangers doing the 10 in a row. They would on the final day they would take the trophy back to Parkhead, and Tommy Boyd was the captain, and he was ready with the trophy to go out of the bus to the throng waiting outside Celtic Park, and Jock Brown nicked the trophy off, and the general manager was the one who thought he was the triumphant one. So these big explosions of fervour and two distinct colours in Scotland, if you're not an Old Firm fan, or genuinely bring sardonic smiles from the rest of us. As far as a football analysis is concerned, when Brendan Rodgers left, he left a Celtic that was in really good operating shape. The word about the training ground practices was that they'd been modernised, that there were systems. So I'm talking about the daily preparation, planning, recuperation, all of that, that not only keeps a team on the road, but keeps up with the times. And Neil Lennon smartly chose not to touch that which wasn't broke. And I'm unclear whether... No, that's wrong. That was a euphemism. I'm clear that across the club, there's been a stagnation of thinking. It's for those of you listeners that follow Celtic and Rangers, it's really clear that Peter Law going signifies that there's an omission on his part, as well as the club's part, that the change around the manager was necessary. And therefore, look, the overriding emotion I've got, which will matter less to you, is that I'm annoyed that Aberdeen aren't claiming second in this situation. Last April, I was in Scotland. I was at Murray Park interviewing Stephen Gerrard. I know Gary McAllister really well. I met Stephen Gerrard and interviewed him a few times before. I like him. We get on. And I watched their training. I looked at the staff they've got around them. I looked at their modernity, and I looked at the way in which they were having to, how would I phrase this? Their money supply was shorter. They needed, I think, to be tighter in not only their scouting, the same, but how they developed the players that they had. I think they've been noticeably better at developing footballers that are on the staff than Celtic have of late, that's my opinion. But also, you could take the emotive names of Celtic and Rangers out of this and look at all great dynasties where one team dominates. And what usually happens at the end, it isn't just a juddering, but degeneration, rust, chaos, the abating of hunger. And I think all of those elements are really present at at Parkhead and at the Lennox Town training ground at the moment. And not harm to them, but, you know, I'm absolutely broken up.
Graham, obviously Celtic have to go on this kind of period of renewal this summer, but I'm sure plenty of Liverpool fans who are watching us currently will be wondering how much Steven Gerrard has actually enhanced his reputation and how much he's learning about being Rangers manager over the last couple of seasons. You know, notwithstanding that Celtic have been a mess this season, Rangers have been tremendously consistent, and the feeling seems to be that Gerrard has done a really good job at Ibrox over the last 2 years.
Well, it doesn't answer immediately all the questions that the Rangers fans will have, but I feel reasonably authoritative about saying that the first thing anybody will cast at a successful manager who's come north from England or who wants to go down and coach in England will be the same mud as they threw at Van Dijk. It's only Scotland. Well, first of all, it hasn't been easy for Gerrard. You know, the accusation is that if you got Scotland to do well, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's not. Rangers were in a powerless state when Gerrard took over. Their squad was formed of footballers who were nowhere good enough to compete with Celtic. And the chasing pack, whether it be Hibs and Hearts, trophy winners outside the Old Firm, Aberdeen knocking them over. And therefore, the construction. The club has many really good staff, and Steve Gerrard will be the first to say that. But he has a little like Klopp at Liverpool, given direction, personality, identity to the work. He sets standards. I think he's... When I interviewed him, I asked him a question about certain people, and both of you will have come across them in sport, have just this oozing character that commands attention if you come in the room. There's an aura around them. Their word carries more weight. Whether if you looked at the words on paper, they might look, well, that's quite ordinary. Delivered by certain men and women in sport, they really carry an import, and people will follow you and they'll retain them. And I asked Steven Gerrard about that, because I think he evidently has that. And he said that he's had to work on it, that leadership, teaching, communication. He said that he's naturally shy, that although he's aggressive and competitive in the football atmosphere, he's had to develop himself. And I think you can see it. I think you can note it. So from a Liverpool perspective, one, I don't really expect Klopp to move on before the end of his contract, at which time I do expect him to move on. Two, I think that thus far, it's not as if he's taking over right now. You know, and not the Liverpool fans want him to. But thus far, if you said, how's the trajectory? He's on course to be the next Liverpool manager. And I, again, talking to him, talking a lot more to Gary McAllister, because we chat about things beyond football and we just keep in touch. I can see similarities with Klopp. And what's more, Steven Gerrard is not one of these people who said, well, I'm famous, I'm a celebrity, I was successful, that'll do. People just need to learn to follow me and take my judgment. And he works hard on his coaching skills. He works hard on the process of managing, whether it be managing upwards, managing the media, managing the way in which signings are made, who comes in and what happens to them. So, you know, it's a long way off before we have to use that litmus test against him at New Melwood and Liverpool. But will he see anybody who thinks that he strolled this because Celtic are having a meltdown haven't been looking at the last few years, nor their consistently good record in Europe. I mean, excellent record in Europe, which means that very soon both two clubs in Scotland will be getting into the Champions League, with the champions of Scotland going straight into the group stage. Thank you, Steven Gerrard.
Yeah. We should talk about what's happened in Barcelona as well over the last couple of days, Graham. A massive leak from El Mundo to El Mundo, I should say, and reported by them over the course of the weekend about Messi's 4-year contract, the most ever awarded to an athlete, they say. They stated that it's ruined the club. Ronald Koeman has hit back saying, I don't understand how anyone can link Messi to Barca's ruin. And I guess the process at the moment is trying to weed out the rat at Barcelona Football Club. So plenty of drama here, Graham.
Yeah, it certainly means that Messi's kids aren't going to have to do a paper round, I would say. What's the question on? Who's the rat? Why is it out? Is he worth all that much money?
Do you agree with Ronald Koeman, first of all, that no one can, in their right mind, link Messi to Barca's ruin? Or do you believe that actually you look at the figures and you look at how Barcelona are struggling and say, you know what, maybe there's a case to be made here that they really should have pushed him out the door last summer?
Those are two different things. What any performer can negotiate via agents, be it stage, screen, football, good luck to them. If anybody's trying to say, I think you should have been a bit more responsible and thought about the future of the club when you asked for more because your performance is the greatest ever. Well, you know, go and eat your hat. Go and sit in the toilet. Are the numbers extraordinary? Yes. Are they all new? No. Two colleagues of mine, Sam Marsden, Moises Llorens in ESPN, last November, wrote about the overall loyalty bonus and the yearly bonus, the bonus for signing on again and the overall. So those two gigantic figures were already out. What would enrage me analytically from the sidelines, and sometimes we project in our business, if I were Messi or his representatives, obviously something, a scoop's a scoop, well done, but whoever leaked this has been trying to do damage to Messi. And tried to say exactly what you've paraphrased El Mundo is saying, which is, look, it's all Messi's fault. Because the numbers to your working man and woman, particularly when people are struggling for their health and well-being, their lives, their livelihood, their fears about their kids, you look at those numbers and it's easy. It's what do they call it, the modern people? Gaslighting or dog whistling. Dog whistling, isn't it? That's a better. So, to me, and you know me as a restrained, mild-mannered Scot, you know, I'm holding back with my language now. Good luck to El Mundo, who got given it. So to me, it's not massively great journalism. It's interesting, so it sells a paper. Hats off. In terms of the behaviour of somebody that's trying to screw Leo Messi and screw any chances he has on the club once they have a new president offering him a new contract, it's disgusting how they find them. And really, if they've leaked confidential documents for no good reason other than mischief, then I hope they get fined and jailed. You know, that's my point of view. If a journalist uses a source, works on them, develops them, and gets them to leak something, there's still a big issue in terms of confidentiality and criminality. But if somebody just goes, hey, there's an easy dump, go and take that and do damage with it, then that's not my kind of stuff. And Messi, I don't know who's fit to sit and judge whether he justifies every penny of his hundreds of millions, but not as a Barca fan, simply as somebody who adores football, somebody who's been around it. And just try to imagine, anybody watching off the ball, both of you, try to imagine that you were a Barca fan, you really cared about the club. What's he given you? Not just points and trophies and Ballon d'Or. It's like an injection. You know, you see all your multivitamins. If you go and watch Leo Messi every second week at the Camp Nou, or you can travel to Stamford Bridge or Kiev, or you go to Berlin or Roma, and he scores makes, and you're watching the greatest thing ever, it changes your life. It makes you better as a person. And even for neutrals, I think it's a nonsense. It's just utterly nonsensical the way they framed it. Does it make Barcelona's board and their management of resources look foolhardy? Yeah. Is it those same people who've made the details available? In my opinion, it probably is. That's my opinion, not off the balls. And therefore, good luck to Messi. Idiots who run the club, we knew that already. I don't think they've really shone journalistically here because it was just dumped upon them. And does it mean that Messi's more likely to be leaving than going? Barcelona still owe him 60-odd million because they're in debt to everybody. And can they offer him a contract? Never mind that contract. Can they offer him a contract equivalent to what Harry Kane's getting now? I don't know if they can. So whether Messi wants to stay or not, it may not now be the issue. It may be the issue that Barcelona can't afford to keep him. Why is Messi in the spotlight for ire if the club where he'd prefer to stay has mismanaged his playing, administrative and financial resources so badly that they can't keep him? There's the people in the clown hats and the red noses going, eh?
Graham, there was kind of a lot of moving parts of the weekend too. Like, it's only a few weeks ago that Messi said, you know, he wants to be at Barcelona. Even if he does move after this, he'd love to come back and coach. So he said he never wants to fall out with the club. He was speaking about how Koeman's been a positive influence and got them back in a more serious manner again. You've got Griezmann scoring 5 goals in the last month, finally finding a bit of form. Pedri's been dovetailing nicely with Messi. There's that feeling that maybe he might stay. Then the presidential elections come around. This gets leaked. Pochettino has been in the media over the last 24 hours saying PSG would love to pair him with Mbappe and his old mate Neymar next season. All this is kind of very interesting timing, but the feeling would probably be that this has to be, you know, another breakdown in the relationship between Messi and the club potentially, given that it had to be someone within the club who's leaked this.
Yeah, you're on delicate ground there. I see your point. I don't want to argue too strongly against it because people's definition of the club might be a little bit different to if you're working around it and looking at them, might be a little bit different to the way we appreciate it. So anybody who was involved in negotiating, giving him that contract is now not at the club. Those, in my opinion, those who are most likely to have leaked it either aren't at the club or are part of the temporary administration that will be gone. So the people he's negotiating with, well, are going to be completely new. Maybe not completely new to him if Laporta wins the election. Mm. So the residual ill feeling, it's there. And senior players, the hard-nosed players, many of whom people would criticise for being a cabal that have more influence than they should. Alba, Piqué, Busquets, Messi now, Suarez in the past. There'll be some harsh things being said over the last few days, in my opinion, by all the senior players, not by Messi. Because this is the club that used private detectives to follow their players. This is the club that used a firm that was hammering some of its own players and some of the potential new people coming in social media. There have been disgraceful practices, well, you're right, under Josep Maria Bartomeu, who's been an atrocious man to be in charge of a big football club. You summarised the playing side of it correctly. Out of the blue, with them having looked like, you know, puppets with their strings cut, suddenly the show is good again. I think it's too late when the title. I think there's too many more storms coming. Well, between now and the presidential elections, nobody bought in the transfer market, and there are patches of the squad where they're bare, and therefore I don't think they catch Atleti and don't win the title. Are they good enough to win the Champions League? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Can they win the cup? Yes. Will that be massive for Messi and staying? No. But I think that if there were, there are temptations at Manchester City who still want him. Maybe not Pep Guardiola, but the owners do. There is absolutely no question PSG want him and think they can get him. The idea of Neymar and Mbappe and Messi up front must be attracted even to Messi. And does he know and trust Pochettino? Yes. So therefore, even though I think it would be very strong for this family man who dotes on his 3 boys and his wife and to take them to a new country, a colder country, a greyer country in the middle of a pandemic, to countries, either France or Britain, where they don't speak the language. These things don't play on everybody's mind, but will they play on Messi's mind? Yes. And therefore, were he to look at the 3, and I think it's 3 options, and say, well, I want to stay, I go back to my point. Well, I'm not certain that Barcelona is saying, oh, well, that's great. That's great. There's 25, 30, 40, 50 million, 10 million a season. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to. So it might be that he goes by default, but I think all options are still on the table. And I do not think, to answer your question specifically, that what's been done this week, it will have put his nose at a joint. But he knew that when he went on against Athletic on Sunday night. He was fouled and body-checked like he was against Athletic in the Super Cup. Didn't lose his temper. He's got it contained. Well, I think on balance, he probably leaves. But is the decision made? In my opinion, it's not. And would he potentially stay if the conditions were right? Yes.
You mentioned Atletico there as well, Graham. They're the winter champions in Spain. Only 10 goals conceded in the 19 games. They're 50 points accumulated, which is a remarkable start to the season for Diego Simeone's side. A bit like 7 years ago, they pick up a Barcelona striker cheaply and he scores goals, which might well help them win the league in Luis Suarez. How impressed have you been by Atletico? Because 10 points clear with the game in hand is an incredibly commanding position at the halfway point.
I'm impressed for various different reasons. They're playing a slightly advanced brand of football. They're far more keen on possession and circulation of the ball. They're often more attractive to watch. When they're ahead, they less often say, right, Fort Knox, everybody close it down, you know, never mind the next, you know, Jose Mourinho Spurs style football. They've moved away from that a little bit. When they've been in trouble, they got torn apart for various different reasons by Real in the Madrid Clásico. And from that point onwards, they've done nothing but win. They've had comeback victories against Eibar, against Alaves, against Valencia. Cadiz, it wasn't a comeback win, but Cadiz waged war on them, clawed them back every time they got a hit. They still won 4-2 without senior players in their side. Right now, they've got all the components. Because I've been calling them champions-elect since November, and I think it was in September I wrote that this has to be Atleti's title, they will win it. There are things that can go wrong, because if they were to lose Luis Suarez, there isn't a natural replacement, even though Dembele's in the squad now. If they were to lose Oblak, then all bets are off for the moment, eh? Because he's that important, doesn't have a proper replacement. Grubic, and the Croatian, I think, goalkeeper, is untested and lacking in experience. So, well, enjoyable, yes. Will they win the title? In my opinion, they definitely will. It'll be their third title in 44 years, so it's exciting. They're the best side consistently, not every week, but the best side in Spain right now. And, you know, if I can go like full circle about the old firm and 10-year-old, the secret of all great comedy is timing. So when Bartomeu went to one of his strikers in the summer and said, "Don't worry, you won't have to deal with Luis Suarez anymore. I'm getting him out of the club." Well, listen, Rafa Presidente, lads, have you ever seen one club winning a title and you give title assist the president of another club? Where did I go to? Great job, eh? Clown shoes.
Yeah, a statue, a nice bronze statue of Bartomeu to be built.
As long as it's got a red nose, I have to make the point again, as long as that statue's got a wee red nose.
Yeah. Listen, Graham, always great catching up with you. Thanks a million for taking the call. It is 9:34 on this Tuesday morning. OTBAM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning, start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.